I'm calling for Amber Rose.
Yes, this is Amber.
Amber, my name is Leroy Chatfield, and I am the director of the 50th anniversary documentation project that relates to Cesar Chavez and his farm worker movement, the United Farm Workers.
Right.
And I would like to chat with you for a few minutes about your years of service as a volunteer with United Farm Workers. Is that okay with you?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, great. First of all, it's been so many years ago, but tell us your years of service as you remember them with United Farm Workers. What years?
Approximately the fall of 1971 through the summer of 1975.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come to know about the United Farm Workers in the first place?
Well, I knew about the grape boycott, and I had been involved in other boycotts, and so just the word boycott just pulled me in because I was always interested in making a difference and, you know, in the world and helping people. And I think the boycott of any kind is a very useful tool. So when I was recruited by a man named Kit Bricka, who was a union organizer for the farm workers in San Francisco, I was immediately fascinated and immediately accepted his idea of inviting me to join the movement.
Well, explain that. When you say you were recruited, I mean, what did he say to you?
Well, I had been singing some original anti-war songs at a Unitarian church in Palo Alto, California. It was a regular Sunday service, and the minister was Forrest Church, who is the son of Senator Frank Church from Idaho. And I was singing some anti-war songs, and Kit Bricka came up to me and said that he loved the songs, but he wanted to know if I'd be willing to write some songs about the United Farm Workers movement. So that was the hook. That was what brought me in. You know, that was what gave me the opportunity and the idea to write some songs specifically for the UFW.
Were you a songwriter at that time, or a performer, or both? Or?
Yes, both. I was a volunteer singer-songwriter for Joan Baez's Institute for the Study of Nonviolence in Palo Alto. So I have many years of working with nonviolent struggles. So I think that was also another part of what interested me in the farm worker movement.
And after you joined the United Farm Workers as a volunteer, what did you do for them?
Well, I wrote original songs, and the goal was to spread the message of the movement, but at the same time, to inspire those already involved in spreading the message. And four examples of these songs are now on the website of this documentation project. And probably the song that I love the most, that I have the most connection to, although I love them all, is La Lucha Continuada, which was, I say, commissioned. Actually, Kit Bricka, the same person who recruited me, asked if I would write a song for Nan Freeman, who died on a farm worker picket line in Belgrade, Florida, on my birthday, January 26, 1972. She died in the middle of the night on a picket line there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's so special about that, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What's so special about that song for me, besides singing it for her parents and having it be so meaningful for her parents, but that song has traveled far and wide, and although nominated for a couple of Grammys and it didn't win, but many years later on a program for the farm workers in Chicago, there was a rally and there was a program that was printed. And on the left-hand side of the program were all the lyrics to the song. And underneath the lyrics it said, folk song. It didn't have names of who wrote it. It just said folk song. And that is really the highest compliment you can get as a songwriter, to have it, have your song be thought of as a folk song rather than giving you credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you stay in Palo Alto with your while you were a volunteer with the farm workers, or did you travel for them, or explain to us what you did, you know, over the months, so to speak?
Right. Well, I was on picket lines, mostly in the Palo Alto area at the beginning, and then branching out, going to the Bay Area, San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, down to San Jose, wherever the call was needed. So if there was a picket line, you know, you never knew. Each day was different. There was a farm worker who was killed. His name was Romulo. I don't remember his last name. And on the spur of the moment, we wrote a song and then, you know, drove down to the church for the funeral and sang that song like the next day. In other words, every day was different, and I never really knew where I was going to be the next day. Even though something might have been planned, something else might have trumped it. But, you know, a lot of it was in the San Francisco Bay Area to begin with. Not only picket lines, but singing in people's homes, houses of worship, on radio and television, and then eventually making a benefit record with four original songs, and then traveling around the country. And originally going with Caesar to go around the country on a tour, but Proposition 14 came up, and he had to stay in California. So I ended up having to go on that tour, you know, by myself, in a mm-hmm. sense, without him, without Caesar, going on a singing tour. That was arranged by the farm workers in advance. And then eventually...
Where did the tour take you?
Wow, all the way across the country, all the way from California, Denver, Toledo, Ohio, Pittsburgh, New York City area, Boston, and that's when singing for Nan Freeman's parents, sang three or four locations in the Boston area, and all over New York, and then traveling all the way back to California again. So that was that tour.
And this was a concert tour.
Exactly. It was originally supposed to be Caesar speaking and then music, or, you know, like being the opening act for Caesar. But then Caesar couldn't go, so it ended up just being a concert tour. But it was a fundraising, you know, tour, because we had that little benefit record which sold for a dollar. And, you know, and then it was all the money went to the farm workers, and we got room and board. We were probably the last of the singer-songwriter, you know, genre for unions, you know, where we got room and board and $5 a week to sing and write songs for the farm worker.
Well, who organized these venues for you?
The farm worker headquarters in La Paz or Delano. It was just a whole tour that was planned out for us, you know, and we would just drive. But originally, Caesar was going to speak in all those locations.
Mm-hmm. Of course, in all these locations that you mentioned, the farm workers had a boycott operation in effect already. Is that?
That's right. That's right. And so the headquarters just, you know, hooked up a tour and then arranged for driving time, you know, to go in between the cities. And then, you know, and sometimes it was like singing in a bar, with slot machines going or pinball machines going and competing with people just talking and not having any microphones. And, you know, that was probably the hardest place to sing, because it wasn't just about singing. It was about the words and, the music allowed the words to go into people's hearts. But if you didn't hear the words, and if we were just background music, to me that wasn't very meaningful. I really wanted to, you know, the words to go into people's hearts and make a difference.
Well, did you have venues that were more appropriate?
Yes.
Than singing in a bar? Could you describe some of these?
Sure.
That you remember?
Trinity Church in New York City, that was right near where 9/11 was. That was one of the places where we sang, and that was really wonderful, and there were hundreds of people in the audience. Home visits, people's homes, almost like people now might sell Amway or, other products, Avon or something like that. Well, we were doing house concerts in people's homes,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't
mm-hmm.
selling anything except the message of the farm workers and that little benefit record that sold for a dollar, which
mm-hmm.
was really a bargain. Because you got four songs and a record and a beautiful cover, which are on your website.
Uh-huh. And what did you think of your farm worker movement experience as a volunteer? Can you give us an idea of what it meant to you, or was it hard work?
A labor of love. It's like giving birth to a child, It's making a difference, having people that I never met later email me that my songs made such a difference 40 years ago, that they're still teaching my songs as part of a protest movement of the 60s. I would say it was the highlight of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to put it in one sentence, working with the farm workers movement was the highlight of my life. It was the most important time in my life. Now, that's a hard act to follow, So, you can say that and feel good about it, but then it's like, what do you do now, So it's like, it's hard after you've done that, after you've marched with Caesar, after you sang with Joan Baez, after you've done all that. What do you do now, in the 2012, But, it was, to answer your question, it was the highlight of my life.
Well, what did you do after? Why did you decide then to stop doing it?
I decided to go to social work school because I still really wanted to make a difference. And it's very hard to support yourself as a singer-songwriter. Very few people, make it to the level of a Joan Baez where you can actually live, off your earnings. And at one point, moved to Los Angeles and actually, quote, tried to make it with the music. And a record was recorded but never released because people in the music industry felt that, folk music had come and gone. And that, the kind of music that I wanted to do was just not popular anymore. And I didn't want to just write commercial bubblegum music, boy meets girl, kind of thing that's just commercial. So I decided what else could I do to make a difference. And I decided that I wanted to become a social worker. And I thought by being able to get that master's in social work, that it would open up more opportunities to help people. And so that's what I did. I went to social work school.
And where did you go to school?
At the University of Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And you got your master's degree?
Right. And then mm-hmm. I went on to become an acupuncturist, an interfaith minister, an author, a poet, a playwright. And I even sting people with honeybees. So, I still do a lot of work to make a difference and help people. I am semi-retired now because I broke my spine. So I really can't, stand on my feet that long. And I'm still a community organizer and political activist where I live in Woodstock, New York.
Okay. Amber, it has been a pleasure talking with you and learning about your volunteer work with United Farm Workers back in the 70s. I do remind our listeners that your songs are on the website of the Farm Worker Movement Documentation Project in the music section. And, of course, this interview will be published as part of the 50th anniversary of the Farmworker Movement Documentation Project. Amber, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I just want to remind the listeners as well that to find me in the music section, they have to click on the words Rose Redwood, because at the time my name was Judy Rose Redwood. So I just thought that might be important to mention. They have to click Rose Redwood. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for
so
reminding
much
me.
For calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.